Let's turn over to the book of Ezekiel in the 34th chapter. Let's read just a little bit. Now, it might be a little bit warm in here. I'd like to say again, we're thankful to have our visitors with us. Now, I don't consider Dole and Chris a visitor. They're home folks. And they haven't been with us but just a little bit. I don't think Dole's been over two or three times, have you, Dole? But we still believe that he's home folk. At least six of them today was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and Dahl was one of them. Gary Dahl and Chris and some of the others. And we're thankful for these that have been baptized in the name of Jesus. And we know there will be some others that will want to be baptized. But we're also grateful that they're here with us and that they want to be part of what we're doing. One of the things that Keith said yesterday was, Brother Pike, I want something to do for God. So then, after Keith was baptized in the name of the Lord and after giving his heart to Jesus, then we want to personally see that he has something to do for God. In the great outreach for souls and world evangelism, there is so many places and so many things to do until it's hard to find enough people. Now, the Bible teaches that Jesus gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. God gives us the word, but it takes a great multitude to be able to publish it. So then there's but one head, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but there are many members of that body. I want to do something for God, and I thank God for these that have come in, and I trust that they also want to do something for Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to chapter 34 in the book of Ezekiel. Before we start reading, I'd like to say we appreciate our visitors back here too that came in there just toward the latter part of our singing. Seem like I've seen these people somewhere. Would you stand up, brother, and tell us your name there, please, sir? From Rosebud, Georgia. Have you been with us before, Brother Dodson? Well, we're certainly glad to have you here. Is this your companion with you? Praise God for that. I knew you were saints of God when you walked in the door. What about these people right here? Would you stand up, brother? Well, we're certainly glad to have you folks here with us. How many appreciate these folks being with us? Praise God. That is so wonderful to know that we've got brothers and sisters around across the different parts of the country that really love Jesus. All right, it's my privilege to have these people here tonight. I count it a great privilege, and I trust that something might be said tonight that might be heartwarming. And let's just read together. You've got your Bibles. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, And I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessings. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safed in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. You know, this is a real thought here concerning the shepherds. A lot of times when a preacher is up preaching, people don't like for him to say anything about the shepherds. They don't like for him to point out anything that might reflect another church, or that might reflect another people, or that might throw any reflection in the direction of another minister. But see, folks, you cannot preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ without coming against some shepherd somewhere. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without coming against some people somewhere. And you cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without reflecting somebody somewhere in some walk of life. Because there are so many shepherds and people and religious bodies, so many of them that are contrary to God, that you have to say something against them. If you do not point out those things, then the sheep won't know right from the wrong. You know, if we all just fellowship together and we just get into a great charisma move as is coming on in the world today, we'll find out that it will end up one of the biggest problems that Christianity has ever encountered. Now, I believe in real charisma. I believe in real Christianity because that's what charisma has to do with. I believe in being charismatic in the sense of really serving God and getting down to business with God. But did you know that the word charismatic or charisma goes in two different directions? One part of it means Christ and to serve Christ and to be like Christ. And then the other definition of it is to be paganistic and go toward the paganistic gods that you read about. So then we believe in Jesus. I see no reason for the world to call us charismatic. Why can't they call us Christians? To me, that name is good enough. Why should we as a body of people want to go through the world telling people that we are charismatic? We are not charismatic. We are Christians. The Bible said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, I know that there's a lot of good people in what is referred to as the charismatic order, but there's also a lot of heresy, just as it is in every move that has gone through the land. But what God wants us to do is cry out against sin. God isn't looking for a bunch of charismatic people. He's not looking for a bunch of denominational people. We don't need to be called according to some denominational name. We need to be called Christians. To me, that's the name God gave us in the scriptures, and that's the name that we ought to hold up. We don't need to go from place to place telling somebody that we belong to this church or we belong to that church or we are of this sect of people or that sect of people. When they ask us who we are, say, we are Christians. Hallelujah. The word Christian means Christ-like. And brother, if you're not Christ-like, you missed the boat altogether. Did you know that? The only real Christian is somebody that is Christ-like. And so then tonight, we at Little Bethlehem, we are Christians. That's good enough for me. The song said, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. At Antioch, they first called them Christians because they were acting like Jesus. You know, they kept acting like the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of the Baptists would act like Jesus? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of the Methodists would act like Jesus? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of the Pentecostals would act like Jesus? And this hits kind of hard, but wouldn't it be wonderful if all the so-called Jesus name people would act like Jesus? Hallelujah! Just being baptized in Jesus' name don't mean you got nothing. Somebody say amen. But I'll tell you what, if you got something, you'll be baptized in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will guide us into all truth and to all righteousness. I like that, don't you? I said earlier here as we was talking, a lot of people don't think that baptism in Jesus' name is necessary. They don't think baptism is necessary at all. But if we follow the example that God gave us, in that the Bible tells us that Jesus is our example, that we ought to obey Him, honor Him, follow Him, be like Him, and that we ought to follow in His steps. If we do that, then those steps is going to lead us down to the water hole somewhere, because that's where He went to when He was here. And I say this again, that when people talk about it not being important, I can't picture the Son of God coming down into this world, taking His time, such valuable, great, marvelous person, taking such great time to come down here to do something that's not important. He came down here to be baptized, to be our example. And brother, that's what we need to do. We need to be buried in the name of Jesus. You know, there's nothing that smells worse than something that's dead and unburied. The Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin by the body of Jesus. Now, wouldn't that be horrible if we left you unburied? So then, when you die, you must be buried. And so then, if you bury somebody, then we're not looking for that same corruptible person to come back out of that grave. Isn't that right? The Bible said, as many have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, that we're to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but to be baptized in the Lord, to put on that, and then to come up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, behold, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And so then we are a new person. Who are we? We are the body of the Lord Jesus. We are Christians. So then he says here, I am against the shepherds that teach anything other than this. Can you say amen? Amen. You say that's not Bible. Read it for yourself. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. I am against the shepherds that do not feed the sheep. I am against the shepherds that's willing to go out and have a great move, a great religious move, just to get money, just to be on TV, just to be famous. I am against those shepherds, the Lord said. Is that right? I will raise up shepherds that will feed my sheep. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So then it is wonderful to know tonight that God is interested in somebody feeding his sheep. He said to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yea, Lord. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know all things. Now, when we get down to business about this thing, you know whether I do or whether I don't. Jesus said, if you do, feed my sheep, Peter. Glory to God, I'll tell you right now, the Lord, he'll ask you over and over. He'll say, look, do you love me? Say, oh, yes, Lord, you know I'm a Christian. I testify, you know, and I do all these things. And the Lord will say again, do you love me? Lord, I go to church and I even pay tithes. Jesus will say, do you love me? You say, oh, God, what's wrong? He'll say, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he said. Have a testimony for Christ. That's what we need. Have a real testimony. Get something burning down within the soul. Get stirred up for Jesus and go out there and tell somebody about the love of God. Go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in, Jesus said, that my house might be filled up. You know, everybody seems to wait for the preacher to fill up the church. Isn't that right? They expect the preacher to fill up the church. But you've never read anywhere where a shepherd ever begat a sheep. Now, have you? Shepherds don't beget sheep. Shepherds watch after sheep. But you that are sheep, you're supposed to reproduce. And the flock is supposed to multiply, isn't that right? So that the house of God can be filled up. Go ye out into the highways and into the hedges. Like the song says, everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. If you've never told anybody who Jesus is, my brother, sister, you need to tell somebody who Jesus is. My, what a delightful subject. What better subject could you have from day to day? What better subject could you have? You know, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if you're not anointed, you can't do that. But like I told somebody here not too long ago, it's not a matter of getting anointed. Somebody said, now then, if you just get anointed. But I want you to know it's not a matter of getting anointed. I tell you again that we are God's anointed. We are God's anointed. The Bible said we're God's anointed. It doesn't matter where you go, you're still sons and daughters of God. You shouldn't wait to get anointed. David said, just stir up your pure minds in here and everything will be all right. That's all you got to do. You know, if you want the anointing to work, remember you are God's anointed. And just go out there and get that mind stirred up, that pure mind of God on the inside of you. And brother, you'll feel the Holy Ghost. You'll feel the anointing. You love Jesus? Praise be unto God. I believe that we ought to testify of the Lord Jesus. I believe that if you've got God on the inside of you, you'll do something about it. Do you believe that? I'm thankful tonight because God is the head of the church. That is Jesus. How many believe Jesus is God? I'm thankful that he's the head of the church. See, there's but one Jesus, and he's the head of the church. Isn't that right? You know, he's talking the other day. Look back there at the Tower of Babel. You get a good picture of it. There at the Tower of Babel, thousands of people begin to come together. Going to build this great tower to heaven. And the Lord looked down and he said, unless I go there and scatter these people, or unless I do something, he said, there won't be anything hid from them that they've set out to do. That is, they'll build that tower to heaven if I don't go and scatter the people. There won't be nothing hid from them. So then the Lord went down, and the Bible said that he confounded their language, and he separated them and scattered them abroad. Now then, why did God do that? For the same reason that he will do that to the shepherds of today. For the same reason that he will do that to the churches of today. Because they rejected the cornerstone. Because they were not building in coordination with the headship. They had the wrong head. Satan had been excommunicated. And Satan had got into their hearts and into their minds, and he got control of them. And there he was bringing them together saying, hey, let's make a name for ourselves. But see, that's not what it's all about, is it? The Bible speaks this way in the Old Testament. I've not chosen you because you are a great people. He said, you are a few people. I've not chosen you because you're such a obedient people. He said, for you're disobedient. He said, but I have chosen you for one purpose, and that is to make a name for myself, he said. Isn't that what it's all about? I want people so that I can make a name for myself, Jesus said. But they, back there at the Tower of Babel, they said, come on, let us make a name for ourselves. You know, that's the way the devil is. The devil wants to make a name for himself. Now, are you listening tonight? The devil wants to make a name for himself. He wants to be a movie star. He wants to be a football player. He wants to be a television artist. He wants to be some great singer. He wants to be a millionaire. Come on now, folks. I hope none of you don't live on this street. But it's a true fact. The devil says, come on, boy, let's make a name for ourselves. He'll tell some fine young woman that's a fine mother, he'll say, now you don't want to be a babysitter all of your life. Why? You don't want to be a mother. There's nothing exciting about that. Let's make ourselves a career, he'll say. Come on. Are you listening? Let's make ourselves a career. And about that time, that mother gets all tangled up and her mind gets all tore up. And she gets to thinking that that's what life is all about, is having some kind of career. Why is that? Because the devil savors the things that be of the flesh. And the devil says, let's make a name for ourselves. Denominational powers come together. And you know what they want to do? They don't want to exalt the name Jesus. They don't want to lift up the name Jesus. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to be some great body of people in the earth. Isn't that right? They want to start something that will draw attention to some great figurehead that they've set up. But folks, that's not what God wants. That's why he scattered them at the Tower of Babel. He scattered them abroad because they took the wrong head, because they wanted to make a name for themselves. They said, let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad everywhere. Let's unionize. Let's come together. Then we can be some great somebody. But see, the Lord rejected them, and the Lord would not have it. But look at the next step of the way. Now then, when that is past, and when that is gone, and that season is passed on over, now look over there at Pentecost and see the difference. There at Pentecost, instead of confounding, and instead of dividing, and instead of scattering men all around, what did he do? He began to draw them together. And the Bible said, devout men out from under the sun in every nation, here they came together. Is that right? From every nation they came together. Devout men. What were they doing? Jesus
was fixing to set up the church. The church ages was fixing to set in. This wasn't a Tower of Babel experience. See, God was going to hear them because they were accepting the right head. Is that right? They were going to take on the right head this time. Not that confusing head to have God to scatter them. It wasn't going to be like that this time. But he was going to give them that wonderful name called Jesus. And Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for it is unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, he said, salvation shall be preached in this name. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. The right head coming in. And 3,000 people lifted their hearts and hand to God and said, Peter, we believe. And the Bible said they were baptized and they were added unto the church. And the great church of the living God got started. You say, Brother Pike, what was the name of that church? It was called Christians. The great church of the Christians. That's what it is. You say, but Brother Pike, there's a sect of religious people today that call themselves the Christian church. But I'm not talking about people who call themselves the Christian church. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that really genuinely are born again. And the Bible says that they belong to the church of the firstborn that is in heaven. You love Jesus? So tonight I am a Christian. Are you a Christian? How am I a Christian? Because I belong to the first apostolic church that God set up at Pentecost. I belong to it. Jesus is the head of it. You say, Brother Pike, what church do you belong to down here? The same one. There's only one. The Bible said there's just one body, there's one head, one faith, one baptism. And you know the beautiful thing about it is there's just one body, and that's his body. One head, that's his head. One Lord, and that's him. One faith, and that's his faith. The Bible said we're shut up under the law unto the faith, which afterwards should be revealed, which is his faith. One baptism, and that's his baptism in the name of Jesus. Is that right? You love the Lord? You know, we said something the other night concerning the doctrine of baptisms, concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of fire and the baptism in water. We was explaining it to the brotherhood as to what it has to do with. You know, God wants us to be baptized right. Isn't that right? Amen. We are baptized into the Spirit by the Spirit of Christ. We are baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost takes our spirit and translates our spirit into the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It purges us because it is the fire baptism that he promised. Isn't that right? The Spirit cleanses the spirit. And the fire cleanses the soul. That's where the life is. For the life that sinneth, or the soul that sinneth, shall surely die. Isn't that right? So then this great, wonderful fire, this blood that comes off of the altar of God, that cleanses my soul by the blood. That blood application comes in there and it cleanses my soul. You know, the Bible said God is a consuming fire. And when we look at Revelation, we see Calvary as the great, big, brazen altar of the evening time. See, Calvary comes up in the evening time of life because Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. That means it's the evening time. And Jesus is the great Lamb of God of the evening time sacrifice. And when you think of Calvary, you think of that great big brazen altar back in the Old Testament where the fire never goes out. You know, when the consuming fire of God came down upon that altar, the high priest kindled that fire under there. And when that fire came down onto that altar, it has never quit burning until today. Did you know that? That altar of the Old Testament, it had to burn night and day. And the fire of God burns night and day. The wrath of God against sin, it burns night and day. And the Bible said it is a place where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. And Jesus, that Lamb without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, was laid upon the evening time altars. You know, the big brazen altar, like another serpent that they lifted up in the wilderness back there. Moses lifted that serpent up and said, everybody that looks upon this serpent, that'll take care of all of their diseases. Well, the Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. And I said this morning, the Bible said, I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Isn't that right? Amen. Israel wandered through the wilderness for about 40 years, but their feet did not swell. There was not one sickly person among them, for God was with them. I believe that Jesus is here today, don't you? Amen. Moses went down in the land of Egypt. And when he went down there, he said, now God, whom must I tell him sent me? He said, tell him I am. I am. And then when you come to the New Testament, you see Jesus standing there. And every time they ask him a question, he says, I am. I am. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. They said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. He said, I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the door to the sheepfold. Just tell him I am, sent you, Moses. That'll be all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I am a present help in the time of need. I like that, don't you? God is not what I was, neither is he. I shall be, but I am, said God. I am a present help in the time of need. If you want some help, you call on me. I'm right now. You know, this sounds a little far-fetched sometimes when I say it, but I say it anyway. There is no yesterday with God. I'd like for us to really get that in our heart. There is no yesterday with God, and there is no tomorrow with God. God is the I am. He's the God of today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now. That's God. Why? Because, I say this again, when you get up above this little ball that's called the earth, you get up there to where you don't see the sun down anymore. Isn't that right? You get up there to where you're not in the shadows that's moving across the earth. You get up there to where it's that light all the time. Amen. The sun isn't going up and coming down, getting on one side of the earth and then on the other side. Isn't that right? God is not a God that sleep. The Bible said, shall he that keep Jacob slumber? God is not the God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow. There is no tomorrow with God and yesterday with God. God is the great I am with the one endless eternal day where there never comes a night. The songwriter said, in that land where there never comes a night, for it'll need it not need the sun. For the Bible said the Lamb is the light of that city. The Lamb is the light of that city. The right head at Pentecost, that's what they sought. I've come to make a name for myself because I am the I am. So then at Pentecost, the church ages set in. And you know, it was different, altogether different from the Tower of Babel. Because they started out to try to get to heaven. But they didn't make it. But you know what? We started out and we made it. Somebody said, well, I'm working on it, and he's still working on me. Well, that's good. He's not still working on me. He done a good job when Jesus said it's finished. You love the Lord? And before the world ever was, I was made perfect in him. And the Bible said he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus at Calvary. Isn't that right? He has predestinated, he has justified, he has sanctified, and the Bible says that God has glorified. Oh, I like that. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about a Christian. I'm talking about a Christian. What is the Christian? A Christian is one that has been predestinated, justified, sanctified. Is that right? When Paul spoke of them baptisms over there, what they do for you?
He spoke of that spirit, translating that spirit into the spirit of God or into the marvelous kingdom of God. Then he spoke of the blood from that big brazen altar, that burning baptism that would burn the chaff out of your life, that consuming fire. He spoke of that purging you. And John said, I'll tell you something. I'm going to baptize you with water. He said, but there's one that's standing among us who said, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe latches. He said, and this man, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Said, because his fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor. Isn't that right? You know, in the Old Testament, it tells how that they trample on the grain like that. When they trample on the grain, all of a sudden the chaff would come up like this from the grain. They just trample, and all the chaff would loose from the seed, and up it come. And the winnowing fans just blow it all away. Isn't that right? That's the way people are today. Blown about by every wind of doctrine. Never stable, just chaff to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Isn't that right? But he taught that there was another baptism. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and he'll baptize you with fire. For his fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor. Is that right? He will thoroughly purge his floor, for his fan is in his hand. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Have you ever been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I know that I've got the Holy Ghost. You know, it's sad to say, but some of you don't even know what the Holy Ghost is, let alone having it. You couldn't have it because you don't even know what it is. I said, well, what makes you say that? Because you don't act like the Holy Ghost. If you act like the Holy Ghost, then I could have some thought as to maybe you understood what he is. But the way you do, and then you talk about having the Holy Ghost, is the positive proof you don't know him. You don't even know anything about him. You don't know the way he acts. What is the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How does it act? Just like Jesus Christ. How can you get it? The Bible said when he comes, he'll come in my name. Isn't that right? The Holy Ghost comes in Jesus' name because it is the Spirit of Christ. Said when he comes back, he'll testify of me. That's that great baptism. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the spirit of baptism that translates your spirit into the Spirit of God, into the kingdom of God. And the fire at the great big brazen altar has done away with your sins and my sins. We don't have any sin because it burned away in the sight of God, and he doesn't see any sin anymore because of the blood application. But then there is one other thing, and that is water baptism. Now, you know, he left that up to the preacher. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Isn't that right? So then he left that one baptism up to the preacher. Water. Scientists say that the biggest part of our body is water. So then for the washing of the body, what do? We're baptized in the water. So when you think about the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of fire, and then you think about the baptism of water, it's just one baptism. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that can't be. That's three. Well, the Bible said there's three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. Is that right? Amen. So then why come three baptisms can't be one? He said, well, where do you get that? Because the Bible speaks of three baptisms. But the Bible said there's just one baptism. So it must be that these three are one. If you're body, soul, and spirit, that's three. Count them. Body, soul, spirit. But now when you put them all together, what is it? It's you. Just you. One, just you. So then God has so wonderfully blessed us that Paul expresses it like this. I would love to present you blameless before God. And when he speaks of it, he said, your body, your soul, and your spirit. You know, there's so much in Revelation that we could get in tonight. We spoke the other night to some of the brethren just in a confidential way. And we elaborated and kind of enlarged upon the baptisms. And it is really fascinating to know what those doctrines of baptisms have to do with and what they mean to humanity. Folks, we're not playing a game. This is real. This is real. Did you know that? This is real. When you go to war and you begin to kill each other, that's not playing a game. That's for real. And you might not get to come back. This is real. We're in a war with the devil. And these things that God has committed under our trust, and these things that God has told us, these things are for real. And they have great value, great significance, and they have they are spiritually rewarding in a great way. So then we need to know them. We need to understand them. And therefore, we need to get away from the shepherds out yonder that's trying to make a name for themselves. We need to get away from denominationalism out there that's trying to make a great enterprise and a name for themselves. We need to get away from the world and sports and all these things out there, our fame and popularity and the worldly things. The Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. I'll receive you. Be that peculiar people. Don't go hungering and thirsting after money and fame, popularity and after passions and the things of this world. Be sold out to God altogether. Give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which the Bible calls your reasonable service. Let's really be a Christian. You know, I hear people today, you know, in the day we're living in, they talk about being holiness. They don't even know what holy people are. Years ago, you look back and you found real holy people. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you can't really be holy. But the Bible said, be holy, for I am holy. Said, well, nobody can be perfect. But the Bible said, as many as be perfect, let them be thus minded. Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master, and no man shall be above his master. But if you be perfect, then you shall be as your master. But somebody would say, now, how can I be perfect? No trouble, no trouble at all. The Bible said, God hath made perfect or perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, how many of you are sanctified? I'd love to see your hand. All right, wasn't no trouble at all to become perfect, was it? After all, what kind of church is God coming back after? Somebody said, well, he's coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Isn't that a perfect church? I said, well, I'm working on that. I'm afraid that you won't ever make it. Say, you don't think I'll be able to do it? I don't believe you'll be able to do it. Jesus said, at Calvary, it's finished. And if that didn't do it, I got a feeling you ain't going to never be able to make it. So I say again that what God is trying to tell us is this one thing. I've set in the church a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of your faith. This we wish, the perfecting of the saints, but this we wish even the perfecting of your faith. You know, to tell you your benefits, to tell you of the love of God, to tell you of all the great promises that God made to you through Jesus Christ, to tell you who you are and what you are and where you come from and where you're going. Amen. See, and tell you this, and then when you hear it, faith cometh by hearing. Isn't that right? And when you hear, then you believe. And when you believe, thus you're made perfect. For Abraham's faith was imputed unto him as righteousness, and it will be imputed unto the person that believes. Is that right? How do you believe that that's true? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe in being holy? I ask this question a lot of times, and I'm going to close in a few minutes. But I ask this question, can an apple tree do anything but bear apples if it's good and healthy? Can a Christian do anything but be Christ-like if they're really a Christian? Don't they have the nature of Jesus Christ? Folks doing good deeds and being holy and putting away the filth of the flesh doesn't save us. The Bible says you're not saved by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Well, you automatically put away the filth of the flesh because a fountain on the inside keeps spewing up and it keeps washing away the leaves that fall in the little fountain. And it keeps washing away the dirt. That's just automatically. You know, that is not what you do to save you. That is just that wonderful water coming out of the wells of salvation. That's that wonderful life flowing through the branches and producing the fruits of the Spirit. Well, how then are we saved? By the blood of Jesus Christ and by faith in the atonement, by faith in the finished works of Jesus Christ once and for all, he hath perfected us forever by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he has sanctified us once and for all, one time. Somebody say, Brother Pike, you got to get sanctified every day in every revival. The Bible says God has sanctified us once and for all. Is that right? Have you been sanctified once and for all? Let me see your hand. Once and for all. There's not another sanctification coming. It's just one sanctification. And the Bible said, the faith of Jesus Christ by which ye are sanctified in the sight of God. That is to say, he had such great faith, unwavering, unwavering faith, as he walked this earth, he had such great faith in the Heavenly Father, never wavered one time, that faith being so great, God accepted that faith in your behalf, that you were made perfect, that you would never waver in his sight, because he was looking at that faith of Jesus Christ in your behalf. Now, when the Bible said, sanctify yourselves daily, that sanctification has nothing to do with your salvation. That sanctification has to do with you living for God in the sense of you are a chosen vessel if you want to be used mightily of God. The more you sanctify yourself, the more you clean yourself up, the more the Holy Spirit can fill you, and the greater vessel you will be, and the greater container you will be, 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. That has to do with your sanctification towards service. And then when we speak of the faith, where Paul used the terms that you are justified by faith without works, that is the faith of Jesus Christ. That is what saves us. But then when we speak of the other faith, where the writer said your faith without works is dead, or faith without works is dead, he was speaking of your human faith. Your human faith has to be inspired to be able to take hold of the sanctifying faith of Jesus Christ. You've got to have the right attitude, the right desire, the right get up and go, the right effort has got to be put forth. You've got to draw nigh to God for God to draw nigh to you. Is that right? So then God left that for you to do. Now, why did he do that? So that he could prove you, like Gideon when he took him down to the water hole. He wanted to prove them. He wants to prove you. Everybody that won't make any effort toward God, everybody that won't get up and try to put any works where they're believing, then they don't have any believing. For the writer said, you show me your believing without anything to show me. And I'll show you what I believe by a whole lot of things that I'm doing. That is, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. How are you going to show me what you believe when you haven't done anything? But if you've done something, it's proof that you believe in it. Isn't that right? So God just left that little part there for you and I so that that would be his way of proving us and getting the right people. If we are the elect of God and if we are the predestinated of God, then we will get up and we will be about our Father's business and we will do something for God and we will evangelize the world. Because we'll get up and be about our Father's business. But if we just sit down and say, well, we're predestinated one way or another, ain't no need to worry about it. I can tell you that you are right. And I can tell you which way you're predestinated. Because the Bible points it out very clearly. You're going down that long, lonesome road where we spoke of the lonesome valley that you're going to have to walk by yourself. When you take that outlook that you're predestinated and you don't have to do anything, it'll take care of itself, then you're in trouble, because the Bible said that God hath predestinated us in Christ. That means in his book. We are predestinated for heaven if we are in Christ, doing and talking and acting like him. But brother, sister, if you're predestinated and you're not in Christ, then you're going down the wrong trail, the wrong road. Did you know that? So if Jesus isn't in your life, you're reprobate. The Bible said do these things. Prove your calling. Make sure that you're the call, the elect. If you do, you don't have to worry. He said if you can prove by putting forth the fruits of the Spirit in these things in your life and you got this nature, you manifested. He said you don't have to ever worry about being lost. If you can do these things, he said you can't never fall. Because it is a proof that you got that nature of Jesus Christ. And if you got that nature of Jesus Christ, that means you're one of the elect. And if you're one of the elect, you're elect by what he foreknew. Foreknowledge under grace and under power, under riches and under splendor. And Paul said, nothing can't separate you from that love. That love is so strong, my brother. If it's in your behalf, you can't get loose from it. You can't get loose from it. Somebody say, well, don't underestimate the devil. The devil, he can knock you loose. If he can knock you loose, you've never been hitched up. Anything that the devil can knock loose, God never did have nothing to do with it. Can you say amen? Anything that the devil has power to overthrow, you can be sure that Jesus didn't build it. This house is built on a rock, my brother. And the winds might blow and the storms might come, but the Bible said this house don't fall. You love Jesus? Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. What a great and a mighty people God's people are. My, you just don't realize how great and mighty you are and how secure you are. And you need to get over that thing about worrying about backsliding every day and get out here and do something for God. You know, man may have a fortune, but he ain't worth 15 cents to the public because he can't invest if he's always worried. Now, if I put a dollar in over here, I'm going to lose it. If I make an investment over here, I'm going to lose it. As a consequence, he just goes around in a circle. His millions don't do him any good. But brother, sister, when you take the outlook that God hath perfected you forever and that you are exceedingly rich in Christ Jesus, and then you get up and go about your father's business and quit worrying about those frivolous little old things where the devil keeps harassing your mind, say, I ain't got time to worry about things like that. I am busy and I must be about my father's business. Could you imagine tonight a millionaire and somebody sitting around saying, oh, you ain't got a million. You ain't got a million. Do you think he'd sit there and listen to that? He'd say, somebody move this moron out of here. I got things to do. So then let's remember that, folks. Just say, Satan, get thee behind me. You know, you can put him behind you because Calvary's behind you. And Jesus done away with him over. Just say, get thee behind me. I'm busy right now. I don't have time to listen to all that stuff you're talking about. All them thoughts start harassing your mind and you get afraid and you got cancer and you're going to die. You're going to lose what you got and you're going to lose out with God and you can't make it in. You're just hanging on by a hairline, you know. So you say, now I got no time for foolishness. Now I'm busy. And go on your way, my brother. Rejoice forevermore. Love God. Put your faith in Jesus. Thank God for what Jesus has done for you. Be strong in the power of my might. And the Bible said when you've done all that you can to stand in yours, don't worry about it. It's gone because he's taken care of anyway. You know, this is a good thought tonight. The Bible said that we're to do these things that please God. Now I want you to listen just a few minutes as I go to close here. Do these things that please God. John said, do all that you can to live holy and just and clean and pure and right, to bear much fruit, to be a great light, and to be a great servant. He said, do all that you can, for if you do all those things that please God, then our hearts will be convinced. Hereby we convince our heart, and that is faith. A convinced heart is faith. Abraham was fully convinced or persuaded. And then when we are convinced, he said, if we convince our heart that God hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Isn't that right? Now he said, brethren, if your heart condemn you, you're not going to be able to get those benefits. Isn't that right? The devil will walk on you and hamper you, keep you pushed down all the time because you won't get out there and really mean business. He said, but if your heart condemn you, it's still all right. God is greater than your heart. Don't worry about it. Let not your heart be troubled. If you do wake up and you find out that you've not been as diligent toward God as you have, don't worry about it. He said, don't let your heart be troubled over it. He said, because if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. He knoweth all things. That is, he knows that you are sanctified forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. But he said, if your heart don't condemn you, you're going to have confidence to God and you'll get these wonderful blessings of God through life. Isn't that right? Amen. But if you let your heart condemn you, you'll wind up going through one fiery trial right after another. Get in as depth of fire. That's right. All of a sudden, oh God, have mercy. Lord, I didn't mean to do it. God, forgive me. See, and not leaving the foundation of repentance and going on to perfection like he told you to. So you'll find yourself in such a condition that when you get to the end of the way, you won't have any works at all. It'll all be burned and you yourself, just as if a fire will make it in. I don't want to be like that to you. I want to be rewarded of God. The Bible said he's not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. Lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. Some bring forth 30, some bring forth 60, some bring forth 100. And wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Is that right? You say, but Brother Pike, isn't that backsliding? That's backsliding. When you let your heart condemn you and you're not diligent toward God, you backslid. Somebody said, aha, you go to hell. No, the Bible doesn't say any backslider's going to hell. God said, I've healed you, backsliding. Woe unto you, I'm married unto a backslider. Did you know the backslider is the wife of God? The backslider's not going to hell. That's God's wife. I am married unto you. But he said, woe unto you. One woe cometh and then another woe. Them that he loves, he chastens. Brother, you're in for trouble. Did you know that? Now, he did say if you fall away. Now, that's a different thing. I'm going to say this in close. Now, if you fall away, brother, sister, backsliding is when you grow weak in God, when you're not as diligent as you ought to, when you get careless. But when you fall away is when you turn back to the things of the world and you look back into Egypt and you go back down into Egypt and you begin to partake of the things of Egypt. The Bible warns us against that. After that, we've once come to the knowledge of the truth and we've tasted of the word of God and the powers of the world to come and the good things of God. And then if we fall away to renew us again under repentance, the Bible said it is impossible for to do that. There'd have to be another crucifixion. Sin would have to be forgiven all over again. You say, but if we backslide, Brother Pike, we've sinned. The Bible said, pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses. Isn't that right? He that is born of God cannot sin. If he could sin, he wouldn't be born of God. That ain't nothing sin that's born of God. That'd be foolish to think that. Anybody could sin and be born of God. Isn't that right? That'd be like a cat born of a cat and he's going to change himself into a dog. He couldn't do that. He's born of a cat. So then I said that to say this. If you fall away after that you've come to the knowledge, there is many people that will come to see, come to taste. And God pouring out his spirit upon all flesh through grace, you can taste of the Holy Ghost in the day we're living in. And you come over to God's house and God's table and you taste of it through this day of grace. And then you turn around and go your way. Brother, you are doomed and you are damned. The Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. Isn't that right? So then let us go on to perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance of dead works and death faith toward God, but let us go on to the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. And these things we will do if God permit, if we'll believe. We can do. Mind if you believe this is the truth? It's the truth, whether you believe it or not. The Bible said, can your unbelief make God's word or faith of none effect? But it's good for you to believe it because you can make it of none effect in your life. But he'll just pass you and go on down to the neighbor's house that believes and perform his word. I am against those shepherds that have big to-dos in the world that feed themselves with fame and popularity and money and prestige and honor and glory and let my sheep starve to death. I am against those shepherds. Someday I will do away with those shepherds. I am against those that foul the water, that those that are referred to as sheep, or I'll discern between the sheep and the cattle that foul the water. A lot of people teach anything. Did you know that? They don't preach the word of God. They just teach anything. And John refers to people as waters, and they just get the people all confused, just get the waters all muddied up. Isn't that right? And you can't get a good, sweet, wholesome, clear drink of water to save your life. But I'm so glad, as the angel said to my brother, when he was praying that night, he said, y'all sure got a good well out at Bethlehem. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that angel passed that on, because out of the wells of salvation you draw water with joy. And sure enough, having the joy of the Lord, that's what we need. What is the joy of the Lord? It's your strength. It's your strength. Where there's no joy, there's no strength. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And what is it? The joy of the Lord. They sing that little chorus, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Tonight, let's be filled with the joy of God. You know what joy is? It's to know, to understand, to believe, and say, oh my God, it's true. He has saved me. He has cleansed me. He has made me holy. I might say, but Brother Pike, you have to be careful, because you tell people that and they'll just turn around and they'll do wickedly and look what you've done. I haven't done anything. They just turned around and proved what they were. The Bible said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were never of us. So then, you don't lose any of these. Jesus said, I'm not lost to one of them. Telling people that they're secure in God, you don't lose Christians. While they're so glad and so thankful and so happy about it that they rejoice forevermore, knowing that they're God's elect and the devil can't kick them around. They're not going back into Egypt. How can they go back into Egypt? They're born of God. They can't sin. They're dead to that world. The Bible said they that belong to Christ have mortified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You know, the Bible teaches that ye should have an anchor of the soul. It's a good thing that the soul be anchored. And the Word of God is an anchor for the soul. Isn't that right? If you've not anchored your soul in Christ, you need to anchor your soul in Christ. Don't let it be drifting. Don't let it be drifting. Anchor. Anchor. Examine yourselves. See if your faith be in the Word. Faith is by the Word. You know, so many people believe in heresies, ideas, what the grandfather and grandmother said and what a preacher said. But see if it's the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of God's Word. The latter time many shall depart from the faith. I say this again, not from somebody's doctrine, some church, some intellectual reasoning, some conviction that you've had down through the years. That's not the faith. Departing from the Word, brother, sister, is departing from faith. There is no faith except in the Word of God. So then his faith comes from him, and he is the Word. So, let's believe tonight in the Word. Examine your own selves. See if your convictions are Word convictions. If so, then you got faith in the Word. You'll be saved. But if your convictions aren't Word convictions, you're going to be lost. They might sound good. They might make you feel good. You can get all kind of convictions. The Bible said the weaker brother eats herbs. He eats herbs. He's got his faith all mixed up. Love him, be kind to him. He's got his faith all mixed up. He believes in this. One man believes in one day and another believes in another day. Some esteem one day above another day. The Bible said that's their business, you know. If they want to do it, don't curse them. Don't get upset with them. But they just got their faith in the wrong direction. But you'll make their faith shipwrecks. That some men esteem every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own heart. There ain't no holy days with God. No certain holy days with God. How do you know that?
Amen.
Every day is holy with God because you are a holy person. All of those things, just types and shadows of that which is to come. Paul said, don't let nobody judge in a new moon or a Sabbath. The eating of herbs and those kind of things. Let's love Jesus. Let's see if our faith is in the Word of God. If you've had a conviction for 10 years, get rid of it if it ain't the Word of God. If it, you say, but it makes me feel funny. I don't care how it makes you feel. Throw it out the window. You know, when I started getting rid of some of my convictions back yonder, I had all kind of convictions. I've been to different churches and different people, and they told me so many things till I was trying to be holy. You know, like some of the paganistic people over yonder that offer their children to the crocodiles, and after they kill their little child by offering it to some snake, they feel so holy. Get rid of it, folks. Get rid of it. Don't let devils and demons get a hold of your body and your mind. Take the Word of God. Anchor in the Word of God. If you've got any convictions, I don't care who taught them to you or what you belong to, you get rid of it and you get your faith in the Word of God. Find out what God's Word says. And I'll tell you what, when you anchor your soul in the Word of God, you're going to find happiness. Did you know that? You're going to find peace like a river. We sang that song, Peace Like a River, and the Bible said all of his paths are peace. All them troubling things, get them out of you. Get them away from you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Oh, this is a glorious thing. People of God are happy. Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. He said rejoice forevermore, and don't you let that heart be troubled. Somebody say, pray for me, Brother Pye, that my heart, it just gets all tore up. Jesus said, you got power over it. All you got to do is believe with the heart man believes. It's a shield that quenches all the fire darts of the wicked. Don't let it be trouble. He said, well, how can I keep from it? Faith, the shield. What is faith? In the Word. What does the Word say? He hath perfected you forever. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. And the Bible says, speaking of the saints of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. When the devil comes around and he says, oh, you're all dirty, you're all mixed up, you're all messed up. Say, Satan, I haven't got time to mess with you. I'm sanctified forever. There ain't a spot or a blemish on me. I've kept myself by the great Holy Spirit of God, and you ain't never touched me, never in my whole entire new birth, never. You know, the devil ain't never touched the saint of God. Did you know that? Not one time. Not one time. Folks, you don't have a spot. You don't have a blemish. You don't have a wrinkle. Not one. You're his glorious church. You're his bride. Did you know if you had a wrinkle, why, he'd disown you. If you had a spot, do you think he'd be married to a wife that's all spotted up? He ain't like some of the people in the world. You know, women down here, they just go out and do anyway. And somebody said, well, it's my little old wife. But Jesus won't do that. You don't become his little old wife unless you don't have a spot. Not only that you don't have a spot, but you stay that way throughout eternity. You don't never have a spot. Then you're his bride. Can you say, I love Jesus? All right, I want you to lift your hands up with me now. If there's anybody here that's not accepted Jesus, if you've not given your heart to Jesus, then I ask you to do it. As the Spirit of the Lord fell in the morning service and people gathered around and was praising God and speaking in tongues and loving Jesus, some were filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, if you've never been filled with that lovely Holy Ghost, let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Let him give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a gift. You never got a gift like that. You won't never see a gift like that. That gift of that great Holy Ghost. Oh, I thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you become a believer, Paul said? If you've not, then maybe you've not been baptized in the name of the Lord. Praise God. But let's do all the way. The Bible said the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truths of God, and he will guide you into all the righteousness of God. And did you know when John didn't want to baptize Jesus, he said, "Yes, John, let's go ahead and do it now. Suffer it to be so that we might obey the Holy Ghost now. That is, that we might fulfill all righteousness. For he will lead you into all righteousness." Isn't that right? Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. Down at Cornelius's, they received that Holy Ghost, didn't they? Peter said, "All right, folks. Now it's time to find the water." And the Bible said them Gentiles that the Holy Ghost was poured out upon, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. While you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, and this wonderful joy and jubilance of Christian living is present, just tell Jesus how much you love him. While our brother Taylor comes tonight to pray the prayer here with you, the closing prayer, I want you to just rejoice in Jesus. You're Christians, folk. You're sons and daughters of the living God. You're eternal. You know, let this stay with you. Don't fight back at it now. Go and see if it's the Word of God. Jesus said, "Ye are gods." Not just sons of God now. He said, "Ye are gods." This is what the Bible says. Is it not written in the Scripture that I've called ye gods? Go back and check it. I've checked the Scripture. He said, "Ye are gods." From the lack of knowledge and not developing your knowledge, you're going to die death of a man when you don't have to die. "Behold, I show you a mystery." No need to die like men. No need to be put in caskets and put in a hole. Paul said, "I show you a mystery. Someday we're going to get this thing straightened out in our heart and mind. And all of us ain't going to sleep. There's going to be a change according to Thessalonians. And we're going to bypass that hole out here on the ground." Oh, isn't that right? Ye are gods. I say this again. Appointed unto man wants to die. I know that, but not unto gods. Not appointed unto gods to die. Just men. He'll die like men if you don't use your faith. But oh, my brother, what a day. What a discovery. What a time. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not be put in that hole. Didn't throw no dirt over him. Hallelujah. What a day. What a day. While our brother Taylor comes, may God bless you tonight. May he enrich you in a way like you have never been enriched. Take these things. Give them orange tea to them. Take heed how you hear them. Go home. Check the Scriptures. Put them together. Thoroughly study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth, and see if you don't discover some jewels and gems and greatness of life you have never discovered. Words of life. These are words of life. These things inspire you, my brother. You hear what we're saying tonight and you believe these, and they'll set you on fire because these are living words. Hallelujah. As our brother Taylor comes tonight.